Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid. Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock, for the ride here for the next 1 hour here on the show. We'll recap what happened last night on Monday Night Football. Take a look ahead to the NBA slate tonight and naturally get into everything else happening in fantasy sports. We've got some fantasy or reality, Sports Grid 60 as well. Great to be with you back on the show. Unfortunately, some sad news to pass along at the top of the show today. Out of Mississippi State University, as their head coach, Mike Leach, for many years, of course, in college football, has passed away at the age of 61. Naturally, Davis, not a fantasy story, but nonetheless, definitely wanted to bring this up here on the show because obviously a very polarizing figure for many years in college football, and naturally our thoughts are with his family today as Mike Leach last night passes away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, still pretty topical because without Hal Mumme and without Mike Leach, this version of the NFL that we all love wouldn't exist, right? Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, these guys, the basis of all of these offenses that these teams play is the air raid spread offense that Mike Leach and Hal Mumme created at Iowa Wesleyan back in the 1980s. Mike Leach was a guy who didn't want to be a lawyer anymore, didn't play college ball because of an injury he suffered in high school. So yeah, definitely thoughts going out to his family and, of course, to all the guys that he has coached over the years. The game definitely lost a pretty great guy.
All right. Let's obviously, you know, a tough story, but, you know, our show focuses on fantasy football. So let's get to our top story here, which, of course, includes the game last night between New England and Arizona. A really competitive game for about two quarters, but Kyler Murray wasn't around for a lot of it. He ended up leaving in the first quarter of the game. And in addition to that, reports are that he potentially could have torn his ACL and will miss the rest of the season. Wow. Tough loss there for sure for Arizona. What does that mean for the future of them? We'll talk about it, but let's give props to New England for winning that game. Blue Jays signed Chris Bassitt, 3-year deal, $63 million. He'll slide in as their number two, three, or four, depending on how you see it. The Pistons, wow, this was a big story yesterday. Cade Cunningham going to miss the rest of the season after shin surgery. Pistons not expected to be very good. This probably makes them a lot worse. And the Cowboys have added T.Y. Hilton to their squad for the playoff stretch. Obviously, we're still following the Odell Beckham news as well. Real quick, though, Davis, this Kyler Murray injury kind of puts, an unfortunate end to what I think was a very disappointing season. I think in fantasy and dynasty, obviously, this is somebody that you're going to be rooting for to come back and to play very well next year. And I guess the answer is we just don't know. They extended their head coach and their GM in the offseason. I think it's probably obvious by now. They probably shouldn't have done that. I'm still not positive even if Kyler Murray is great or not. I just don't think that we're ever going to know until somebody gets in there and allows him to use his skill set, very similar to what we saw with Chicago and Justin Fields.
And it's going to be really hard for them, right? Because if Kyler Murray does, in fact, have a torn ACL, it's not as if, okay, you know, let's say they hire, I mean, they could hire the greatest head coach of all time. They could replace Steve Keim, who is, there was actually just a report, I want to say from The Athletic a couple weeks ago, where a bunch of unnamed sources were like, Steve Keim is the worst dude to work with, worst dude to be around, has no clue about anything. So, I'm not saying that, but that's just what some of these sources were saying. But how would we even know? Because we'd get a new coach in, we'd get a new GM, and Kyler's not going to be able to go through training camp next year. He's not going to be able to do OTAs. Now, again, assuming that he does in fact have a torn ACL, and this isn't some other injury. But I mean, we're seeing right now, I mean, Odell Beckham tore his ACL in January. We're sitting here December 13th, and his camp is now saying he's not playing in the regular season at all. He's waiting until the postseason. These are full year injuries. I mean, J.K. Dobbins he tore his over a year ago. He came back. Now, he did have a good game against the Steelers, but he looked horrible, looked super like he couldn't really move the way he wanted to. So I think kind of we've gotten used to, Craig, guys coming, modern medicine, guys come back from these injuries, they look better than ever. But, every injury is a little bit different. And I certainly a quarterback who's, what did he get, $216 million guaranteed, I think, like, they are not going to want to rush him back. They are not going to want him to play before he is ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Arizona tears it down in the offseason outside of Murray. It certainly has to be thought of at this point because nothing has worked for them over the past few years for sure. Speaking of which, Cade Cunningham, wildly talented player on the Detroit Pistons, Davis, I know that everyone is chasing Wembanyama this offseason. They want to get the number one lottery pick. I know Detroit is going to be right there. And I suppose with this injury to Cunningham at this point, you think they finish with the worst record in the NBA at the end of the season? Or is there a chance that somebody else eclipses them for that?
I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know if I would make them the favorite right now, because there are some teams who are really trying to be terrible. So right now the Pistons are 7-22. I guess what's interesting for them is this, in a way, allows them to learn a lot about their lottery pick from this year, Jaden Ivey. Like, the whole team is basically going to get turned over to Jaden Ivey right now. But I think if I was a betting man, which I am, I think I would take the Houston Rockets to end with the worst record in the end. Because if it gets even close, you know that everyone involved in the Rockets, they are not going to be shy. I mean,
when you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
They'll shut guys down. They'll be, they'll be like, the athletic trainer is going to be in there by game 75 for the Houston Rockets, I think.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting in San Diego, Davis. I went to the Major League Baseball draft lottery. I sat there when it happened. First time I've ever been live in a spot like that. So it's kind of interesting. And it makes me more interested to see what happens in the NBA. Obviously, Wembanyama, in terms of talent, may be the most talented number one pick we've seen in a long time. So we'll be following the bottom and the top of the NBA. Coming up next, we'll go through our standouts from Monday Night Football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports today here on SportsGrid. The Patriots defeat the Arizona Cardinals 27-13 last night. In fact, it was really interesting, Davis, in my pool. I haven't talked about my pool at all this year, my picking pool that I've been doing, because honestly, the first few weeks of the season, I was like, whatever, I'll just pick. Davis, I have won 4 weeks in a row in this pool. I am not kidding. I have won 4 weeks in a row. I lost the game last night, but because I picked 41 for the total and hit 40, I ended up winning the tiebreaker. So I am thrilled. I'm on a hot streak here with this somehow. But for fantasy football, got knocked out of one of my leagues, going to the playoffs in another league. And Davis, before we get to our fantasy standouts, how about coming out of last night's game thinking, two quarterback league, got Kyler Murray. Two running back league, I got Ramondre. I got Damian Harris. We're heading into the playoffs with like all these guys going down just before. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, last night was like final destination type stuff. Kyler goes down, Ramondre goes down, comes back in. James Conner goes to the locker room for a little bit, comes back. Greg Dortch was expected to be the slot wide receiver for Arizona. I don't even know if he ended up recording a snap. Robbie Anderson and AJ Green played instead of him, with Hollywood Brown playing in the slot. I mean, just it was awful. Not a good advertisement for the NFL product, right? I mean, that's like basically you kind of understand injuries, and injuries kind of add like an extra layer to the game in general, right? You know, picking running backs up off the waiver wire and all that stuff. But the in-game injuries, horrible. Just it really is just a miserable experience, because you're like, great, you know, I needed 12 points from Ramondre Stevenson to get to the next round. Oh, no, I got 1 point, and he's out.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if Cliff Kingsbury was the coach of the Patriots, how many wins would they have this season? It's unbelievable. The Patriots are having the same exact season as they had a year ago. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be the final seed and probably get whipped. But for now, let's take a look at their fantasy standouts from last night. Not much for Mac Jones, to be honest with you. Just over 225 yards and one interception. Now, the running backs is something we have to focus on this week, obviously, because we're heading into the playoffs with a chance of some new names to pick up off the waiver wire. Pierre Strong Jr., 70 rushing yards, 2 receptions for 20 yards and a touchdown. Kevin Harris also had an early touchdown, 25 yards and a score. And hey, Hunter Henry, we hit that total, didn't we, yesterday? over a half reception, 3 receptions, 70 yards. This is probably Hunter Henry's best game as a member of the Patriots, is my guess.
It's pretty close, because I think he had a 2-touchdown game, I think, at some point last year. But definitely, I would not be surprised if 70 receiving yards was the most of his Patriots career. I suppose probably the most interesting thing, honestly, in the course of this game is going to be figuring out, so how long is Ramondre out? How long is Damian Harris out? And which one of the guys between Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris do you want on your fantasy team? Kevin Harris played more of the snaps. He played 29 snaps. Pierre Strong played 19 snaps. But Pierre Strong, I think, looked a little bit better. 5 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. 8 for 26 and a touchdown for Kevin Harris. 2 targets, 2 receptions, 20 yards. I would say, I mean, Pierre Strong was drafted ahead of Kevin Harris. Pierre Strong was the 4th round pick. Kevin Harris was the 6th round pick. They both have spent all year on the practice squad. And, I mean, I guess just a fun little bit of trivia. Kevin Harris is the youngest player in the NFL. I think he just turned 21. That's neither here nor there, but I would imagine that we are going, I mean, you know, these guys are the new Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen guy. I mean, you know, this is just how New England has always done it. Pierre Strong, kind of actually very similar to Vereen, very similar to Ramondre, actually. You know, these guys did not play at all their rookie years. Damian Harris, I think, was only active for 2 games his rookie year. Like, this is just kind of what the Patriots do with their guys. I would say Strong has a greater chance of earning a role even if, like, let's say Ramondre, you know, he does his cold tub and his you know, whatever, the oxidization chamber and feels better tomorrow morning. I think Strong has a better chance of, like, holding a role.
Yeah, I saw some comments last night, Davis, saying that the Patriots are going to sign Melvin Gordon. Is that possible? Is Melvin Gordon on a team or no?
Well, he's on the Chiefs practice squad, but you can sign anyone off a practice squad to your active roster, I think is the rule.
Yeah. So, I don't know. See, actually seems like a pretty good idea for New England to get somebody who's played in playoff games before and things like that. All right, now Arizona. Yeah, I mean, the first half competitive, second half just a disaster. Colt McCoy threw for 240 yards. He obviously had his struggles very much in the second half of this game. In the end, he did pick up 24 rushing yards, but in general, less than 15 fantasy points for Colt McCoy. James Conner came through with 85 rushing yards, six receptions, 29 receiving yards, and a touchdown. So you definitely got your money's worth there. DeAndre Hopkins, 7 for 79. You probably could use that. Robbie Anderson got involved, which we haven't seen all that much. Four receptions for 50 yards. So it's now Colt McCoy's team, Davis. Arizona clearly out of it at this point. I think they'll probably go the route of the Rams, which is you're just not going to see anybody who's even remotely close to being hurt. I think they're going to shut it down and, you know, chase picks and stuff at this point. They're done.
Yeah, they are completely done. Although it's very, I mean, fantasy managers are going to hope that this is not the case, because James Conner, I mean, he truly might have the best usage role of any guy in the NFL. 95%, 97%, and 96% of the total offensive snaps for the Cardinals over his last three games. He's got at least three receptions in five of his last six games since coming back from injury. I mean, this guy has, like, this absolutely unbelievable role. He keeps scoring all these touchdowns. In fact, he's got a touchdown, at least one, if not two, in four games straight. Wow, I mean, the Cardinals have been crappy. They've been losing all these games, and his role has still been that good. So shut him down, because you're going to be losing, like, a top 10 running back in fantasy pretty much. And the Robbie Anderson stuff just really, really chapped me, because I had Greg Dortch overs, played a bunch of Greg Dortch in showdown, thought he was just going to be locked into that slot role. Honestly, I get it. Like, they traded for Robbie Anderson. They want to see if they want to give him an extra contract, but still pretty annoying.
All right, so we kind of know where the Patriots are headed. Feels like a 10-7 David season, you know, 9-8 type deal. Chance to make the playoffs, back seed. Fantasy relevance very limited, not a lot of receivers, no tight ends, and it's just the running backs there. Where should Arizona go in the offseason? What direction should they go? Because to me, it's one of the more compelling teams in the NFL, because it always feels like going into the season they're going to be better than they are. And now with Murray hurt, do you think that they just tear it down and say, you know what, we'll keep Murray, we'll start this thing over again, new coach, new GM? Will they just add again like they did with Hollywood Brown? And that led to absolutely no success whatsoever in the offseason. I mean, the division is sort of, outside of San Francisco, it's sort of winnable, because the Rams are taking a step back. We know Seattle's really not that good. What do you think the direction goes here?
I mean, I would, for one, be looking at this division as the Cardinals ownership and being like, this is there for the taking. The Rams are in, like, a five-year rebuild. Like, I would think it'd be very shocking if they somehow turned back to a 12-win team next year. I would also, you know, Pete Carroll, great coach, but I would have my doubts on Geno Smith, you know, being like, an MVP candidate year over year. And the 49ers don't have a quarterback, right? Jimmy's not going to be on that roster next year. Maybe it'll be 23-year-old Trey Lance. Maybe it won't be. I would probably shove my chips in with a different coach. I don't think that's what they're going to do. But number one on that list is you got to get a different coach. Cliff is not a good NFL head coach. That's the number one thing for them to accomplish.
Yep, no doubt. All right, we got Thursday Night Football coming up, believe it or not, just in a couple of days. Also, don't forget, for those of you who are playing in the fantasy football playoffs, we also have a Saturday night game. A lot of snow expected between Miami and Buffalo. No talk about moving this game, by the way. So Dolphins and Bills Saturday night, along with the rest of the slate on Sunday. But we got a full slate tonight to talk about in the NBA. So Davis and I are going to come right back. We got some of the big stars playing: Giannis, Curry, Embiid. Are we choosing any of them tonight for the NBA slate? We will tell you next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig and David back here with you on, of course, this Tuesday. And I was looking at the NBA slate earlier today. And Davis, I was thankful the fact that we're doing a slate today with more than like two games. We actually have five games tonight here on the slate. One of them interesting, of course, Lakers-Celtics, no doubt. Phoenix takes on Houston. Rockets, of course, as you mentioned, losing a bunch of games in a row. How does the slate look for you tonight with these five matchups?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that we are going to have to adjust for is that Devin Booker has been ruled out for the Phoenix Suns. That obviously changes the entire complexity of their team. He is their most important player by far, takes all of their shots, is their leading scorer. So that is, you know, figuring out, okay, you know, campaign, Miles Bridges, Tortle, you know, like, what are we doing there? That's pretty big. Anthony Davis and LeBron are questionable. Now, I'm guessing that those guys probably play, although, you know, this could be a rest game for them. They're playing against far and away the best team statistically in the NBA this season, the Boston Celtics, maybe Darvin Ham, and manage, you know, the ownership and front office in Los Angeles just say, you know what, let's take this L. Let's let these guys rest. De'Aaron Fox is questionable for the Sacramento Kings. He is going to have a huge impact on Malik Monk and Davion Mitchell. If those guys go, Tyrese Maxey remains out for Philadelphia. Philadelphia is just kind of like the walking dead right now, although they have gotten Embiid and Harden back, so those are a couple of the interesting spots. But as always, you know, injuries are going to dictate so much of, you know, what we're doing here for fantasy.
All right, so there you go. There's your pricing tonight. Let's run through it here. We have Steph Curry at 10,800, Harden at 9,700. We have Jaylen Brown at 9,200, De'Aaron Fox, 83. Drew Holiday at 8, and Jordan Clarkson at 7,400.
So starting out at the guard position, I mean, I think probably one of the first things you're going to have to decide is, are you going to be playing James Harden or are you going to be playing Steph Curry? Because Harden is going to project the best from a points per dollar perspective, but I would imagine that he's probably going to be about 15 to 20% owned on DraftKings tonight, whereas Curry is going to be more like 4 or 5%. And this is a pretty big matchup, and we've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, Golden State doesn't really have the room for error that maybe you would expect a defending champion team to have. You're like, oh, you know, we're going to get our 52 wins. We can play the young guys. We can rest Steph when we need to. Well, it's not really the way the season is going for them. They have been losing way more than they thought. James Wiseman has basically been useless. I mean, for example, if the season ended today, the Golden State Warriors would be in the play-in, right? Not good, not what they want. So I think he looks pretty strong tonight. Jaylen Brown looks okay against the Lakers. I would be a little concerned about playing too many Celtics against the Lakers because, quite frankly, I just don't expect that game to be very competitive. So not sure how many minutes some of those guys are going to get. Our value options, we have Damian Lee, who with Devin Booker out will probably be the backup point guard and shooting guard for the Phoenix Suns. He is 3,500 against Houston. We'll see if Cam Payne starts. If Cameron Payne does start with Chris Paul in the backcourt, I think he looks pretty strong. I would avoid Chris Paul. I know Chris Paul is going to be a really popular value option tonight. No Devin Booker, cheap price against his whole team, the Rockets. He just is really not that guy anymore. You know, he is taking a career low percentage of his shots around the rim, which, I mean, he's 38 years old and he's a 5'10 point guard. So I would definitely look to avoid Chris Paul tonight as a really popular value play.
All right. Now let's take a look at some of the other options, and Giannis going to be right at the top. Shouldn't be a surprise here. If you want to use him tonight, his price is pushing 12,000. He's 11,900 this evening. We have Jason Tatum at 11. There is LeBron priced at 9,800. Want to make sure he is playing. Zion Williams's price continues to rise. He's up to 9,500. Jaylen Brown at 9,200. And Lauri Markkanen at 7,900.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not always that smart, but every time Zion plays, I just kind of want to play him. He has been so unbelievable this season. I don't think he is going to win MVP this year, but definitely I think he is trending towards a guy who is, you know, going to make a first team all NBA or so. So obviously Giannis projects the best of anyone at this position. There probably is not the value right now to get him in. Now, if the Kings end up, you know, if De'Aaron Fox doesn't play, if, you know, someone else sits for the Phoenix Suns, I could, by the way, I guess I should have mentioned this because of the spot that it is. So the Suns are up against the Rockets, very, right, very easy spot for them. It would maybe not be that surprising if we also saw Chris Paul rest tonight. Devin Booker's out. You rest your 37-year-old point guard and you go just with the full young guys. LeBron, I think, is pretty strong if he plays. Jaylen Brown, we mentioned already. Lauri Markkanen has been out. He's going to be, I believe, returning tonight for the Utah Jazz. I mean, Lauri Markkanen is maybe the story of the year. I mean, this is a guy that multiple NBA teams didn't want. The Bulls traded him away. The Cavs gave him away in that deal, you know, basically for you know, they was just to get rid of his salary in order to acquire Donovan Mitchell. 22 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals plus blocks. I mean, like, really, absolutely unbelievable. I really like him tonight. And then we also have two stone-cold punts here. We got Dario Saric, who should be the backup center, power forward, small forward, kind of depending on how the Suns, you know, configure things tonight without Devin Booker. I've always kind of liked his game. Kind of thought the 76ers gave up on him a little bit too early. And then Pat Connaughton has returned to the rotation for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think he looks pretty good tonight as well. And then Larry Nance for the Pelicans against the Jazz.
All right, fair enough. And you can use Giannis as your big man tonight if you choose. As we mentioned, he's also available just under 12,000 tonight at 11,900. Now, also, Joel Embiid is an option. He's 11,700 this evening. Anthony Davis, you got to pay up for. He's 11,100. DeMontis Sabonis is 94. With all those players out for Phoenix, maybe DeAndre Ayton's an option. He's 7,200. And Kelly Olynyk is not someone we've considered very often this season. I will say that. He's 5,900 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the context of the slate, and I think Joel Embiid is probably just the best play due to the combination of expected ownership and projected points. You know, so many people are going to be playing, you know, the Phoenix value guys, probably one of the scoring guys on the Sacramento Kings, you know, some of these Utah Jazz guys, they're just always so affordably priced. Colin Sexton is out for them right now, which means that Clarkson, Markin and Beasley, Conley, all of these guys have way better roles when Jordan Clarkson is not in. And I just does not look like in the context of this late, like very many people are going to play Embiid against the Sacramento Kings who, you know, they're actually, I mean, the Sacramento Kings are playing way better than anyone anticipated. They kind of have like a fun home atmosphere. I mean, the Sacramento Kings right now are 14-11. That is the fifth seed in the Western Conference. Definitely, I don't think very many people had that in their preseason bingo, but they're still really bad defensively. Their whole thing has been buoyed by offense, which I suppose if we are looking at stacking a game tonight, you could do like Harden, Embiid, Malik Monk, DeMontis Sabonis. That's kind of maybe an interesting way to get after that game. But Embiid to me is the best center play. Sabonis is, I think, pretty strong. Ayton is going to be the most popular guy. But I don't know if I love this, you know, one-to-one translation of, oh, you know, if Devin Booker's out, then DeAndre Ayton is the guy. Although I suppose last year in the playoffs, Devin Booker did miss their, what was it, the first 3 games against the New Orleans Pelicans, and that was pretty much the best stretch of DeAndre Ayton's career, was averaging like 30 and 12 against the New Orleans Pelicans in that series and kind of helped them drag through when Booker was not playing. And in terms of value options, it's pretty thin. It's like Nance, maybe Kevon Looney. Jonas Valanciunas against the Jazz actually seems okay as kind of like a value option, but not seeing anything here other than Embiid that really like gets the old engine going.
All right, so there you go. Check it out over at dailyroto.com and simulate your lineup, get you all set for tonight and get set up for this evening's slate. So what's interesting, Dave, is I have a question for you. So in 2 weeks from tomorrow, yes, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the Lakers are playing in South Florida. They're playing against the Heat. American Airlines Arena, 30 minutes from me, maybe 35 minutes. I used to go all the time. I used to go to all the regular season games, playoffs, and everything. I haven't gone that often over the last few years. So the Lakers are coming here. my son has said, I'd like to go. He's never been to a game. He'd like to see LeBron James. So we're having this conversation, and then it just sort of occurs to me, Davis, like there's a lot of other factors in play. Like LeBron played for the Heat previously. Like I get that part. But every time we talk about LeBron on a slate, it's almost like being worried that he's not going to play. So here's my fear. We get these tickets, we go to the game, and he's out. And then we spent the whole night going to a game that the guy didn't play. And that's just the dynamic that I hate about the NBA. That didn't exist many years ago, but that's like a real thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say LeBron, I believe, has only missed 3 games this year, and it was when he legitimately had an ankle injury. No, he's missed 5 games, but he did have a legitimate ankle injury.
Right.
And I would also say these guys, in general, this has been the guidance from the NBA. They're much more likely to rest for a home game. So they're much, much more likely to take their rest day for a home game. And also, I would look at the schedule and see if it's a back-to-back when you're taking your kid, like if they got to play the Heat and then they got to play the Magic the next night, then maybe I would look at that. But I would say if it's a one-off game, they're off the next day. And I mean, every game counts for the Lakers. He can't really be resting in some of these big spots. So I think you're probably good. I would say you're 75% safe for him to play.
All right. So I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do it, but we will see. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. We got fantasy or reality coming up next. We'll talk about the big move by the Atlanta Braves yesterday after the show. They traded for an all-star catcher in Sean Murphy. We'll also dive into a little more about the NBA. So stay on the grid. More Davis and I coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We had one small move in baseball today. Mike Zunino signs a 1-year deal, according to The Athletic, to catch for the Cleveland Guardians. Davis, we still have some big free agents out there, even after the winter meetings. Carlos Correa still remains unsigned. So does Dansby Swanson, maybe Carlos Rodon. I mean, who's your favorite of the rest? Because, you know, someone's going to get a really good player still left here. I mean, of those, I think there's like a huge drop-off once we get past those. But it feels like those three are still like elite at their position.
I mean, just me, I would have given Carlos Correa a bigger contract than Xander Bogaerts. Carlos Correa for his career, 200 ISO, 357 OBP, 358 weighted on base average. I mean, this guy is like, Trey Turner, does he have as good career stats as that? Like, Trey Turner strikes out all the time. Carlos Correa doesn't even strike out. Like he is just so good. I'm kind of shocked. I'm shocked that he is not, why have the Yankees not brought Carlos Correa? And who is the Yankees shortstop even? I guess it is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is who they're playing at shortstop. Like, come on. If we can give Aaron Judge a $410 million, or what was it, $380 million contract, we can't bring Carlos Correa in. I am legitimately shocked by this. Swanson is not to me in the same tier, right? Swanson is a really good player, but not a 360 weighted on base average, 25 home run, 10 steal type of guy. And then Rodon is like, I don't know, it feels like he's setting up his career to be like a mercenary type, like 1 year, $33 million here, 1 year, $28 million here. Like, I don't think he wants to do the 10-year, $250 million contract, it seems like.
Well, we'll find out. I would assume that this week those guys will get signed, but we will see. All right, speaking of which, let's do some baseball hot stove. It's time for some fantasy or reality. Well, Davis, imagine being the Marlins and the Nationals right now, looking up at the National League East. The Mets just are unstoppable with the money. They're over $300 million in payroll. Philadelphia Phillies coming off a World Series appearance where they actually fared well against Houston. They add Trey Turner to the mix. And the Atlanta Braves basically, I mean, do they really need to make moves? Everybody they have signed, Davis, for the next 10 years, basically. But yesterday, They end up adding Sean Murphy, and they trade William Contreras. So now Murphy will be their catcher. They also have Travis d'Arnaud there, too. And you look at their lineup, it's very solid. They have great starting pitching. Maybe they could use another outfielder, I guess, because Ozuna's, you know, sort of at the end of the line. But look, the other teams did a lot of really good things in the offseason, too. Fantasy or reality, the team that won the division, by the way, last year, the Atlanta Braves should be the favorites again to win the NL East.
I mean, I have to say that that is probably pretty true. I mean, if you look at their lineup and say, like, you know, what would be some of the weak spots? I mean, it's like, Michael Harris was absolutely unbelievable last season, batting ninth for them. He's only 22. They call up this young fella, Vaughn Grisham. He looks absolutely incredible, you know, was pretty good in limited plate appearances. Now, the reason why you would maybe at this point in time be like, well, you know what, I actually think I'm going to go on the Mets, is if anything goes wrong in the regular season for the Mets, Cohen is like, all right, you know, what cash do I have to give up to find our, you know, our replacement left fielder? Oh, we're going to buy a third starter. We're going to improve the bullpen. Whereas the Braves, I mean, the Braves will spend, you know, it's not as if the Braves are running like a Pittsburgh Pirates clown circus style operation, but the pocketbook is not going to open as quickly, as fastly, and as large as the New York Mets. Well, it's a great divisional race, and I think is a great showing for what happens when baseball owners take their team seriously and don't just own the team to, you know, basically make money. Like, Cohen really wants to see his team win, which we should applaud at all costs, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to say reality as well. I would not sleep on the Phillies, by the way. I guess the thing with the Mets, Davis, is that when you have Scherzer and you have Verlander at the top of your rotation, it almost seems like they're more built now for the postseason than the regular season. Yeah. Because if anything was to happen to Scherzer or Verlander, you know what they would do. They'd pull a Kershaw. Oh, he's going to be out for 2 months. Who cares? We'll use him in the playoffs. So I know that didn't work for them, by the way, last year in the playoffs, but I think that's probably the route again. I think all three teams, I mean, could probably win 90 games. I mean, that's how good they are. I know the Phillies maybe would be considered a team that doesn't quite have the pitching maybe that those other two teams have. The Phillies probably have the best lineup now with Turner of those three. But Harper's going to be out a while, going to miss all of April, May, probably June too. That probably puts them a peg back as far as winning the division. So yeah, I got the Braves again, winning, the favorites to win the division. And by the way, they may not be done. They may get, Swanson again. They could sign him. He's still out there as a free agent. All right, tonight in the NBA, we've got the Golden State Warriors taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, these two teams have definitely gotten off to different starts. Milwaukee looks like exactly who we thought they would be, and the Warriors just can't win on the road. Fantasy at all, fantasy or reality, tonight's Warriors-Bucks game is an NBA Finals preview.
No, it's not. I got a fantasy. I am not betting against the Boston Celtics right now. The Boston Celtics have the best points per possession offense in NBA history right now. Now, again, I think to some degree that will regress, right? Derek White is shooting like 42% from three. Marcus Smart is making the greatest amount of threes of his career. But on the other hand, I think you could argue the other way, and you could say, you know, probably their best defensive player, Robert Williams, is not even been playing. They're playing Sam Hauser. They're playing Blake Griffin. They're playing Luke Kornet. Like, they're playing all these guys who are not going to be in their playoff rotation. And I think probably the number one thing you could have argued last year when the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics played is, yeah, the Celtics ended up winning in seven, but Giannis was still the best player in that series, right? Giannis is the star and the moon and the ocean. He is everything. And he probably is the best player in the NBA. But Jason Tatum, I think, has gone from being top 15, top 10, to like, it's neck and neck between him, Giannis, and Luka, I think probably, and Jokic, for like truly the best, most impactful guy in the NBA. And Tatum is a great defensive player. How often do we see these superstars? You know, Curry is a good defensive player. He helps out, but he's not a great defensive player. Jokic is probably the best offensive big man ever, probably, at least in terms of passing and shooting. But he's not a very good defensive player. Tatum does absolutely everything. And I think the Malcolm Brogdon addition, You know, again, you could argue like Chris Middleton didn't play in the playoffs last year. Chris Middleton is out right now. He's going to be the Bucks' second best player. That's going to change up. And like, I don't know. I think Jaylen Brown is way better than Chris Middleton. And Malcolm Brogdon can play Drew Holiday kind of close to a draw, I think. Like, I just think the Celtics are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I think easiest to just say no here because I have the field that I can play in this spot. And if the Warriors are going to be a 7 seed or an 8 seed, they probably won't be. But if they're going to be a 7 or 8, they're going to have to fight a lot to get to the NBA Finals. Who knows what happens if they have to take on Phoenix again in the NBA Finals or New Orleans or someone else. And as far as the East is concerned, I actually have some confidence that the Bucks are going to be close, if not there. But you're giving me the field. So, I mean, in a fantasy reality situation, I got to play the field in this spot. All right, finally, they're going on tour. Who is going on tour, you may ask? Well, if you may remember, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, the number one show on television, Davis, for several years, probably, I'm going to say 5 years, the number one show on television was American Idol. It was must-watch television. Everybody gathered around, the family gathered around to see the show air a couple different times a week. It was the beginning of sort of the heightened of the reality TV era, for sure. And Ruben Studdard, who was very popular on the show, along with Clay Aiken, are now going on a 20th anniversary tour. Fantasy or reality, Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard are the most famous American Idol contestants ever.
It's pretty close. No, they're not. Because Kelly Clarkson went on to be like a... She had to have gone platinum. Kelly Clarkson... Because I think Kelly Clarkson got to a level of fame where people didn't even think of her as coming from American Idol. But anytime, if I ever saw Clay Aiken or Ruben Studdard on anything for any reason, whatever it was, I immediately would have gone to American Idol. They were on that show. And then there's Vanessa Hudgens, I want to say is her name. Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson, yes. She is more famous than either of these guys, too, because I think she went on to be a movie star in addition to singing. Yeah, so no, these two are not the most famous. I would say Jessica Hudson and Kelly. I mean, Kelly Clarkson, like, am I making this up? She was, like, one of the biggest pop stars in the world for, like, a year.
Yeah, there's no doubt that this is not only fantasy, but you're missing even a bigger one, even than all of them. Believe it or not,
you're right. There's another one, a guy, right? There's a big pop star.
That's where there is a pop star too, but Carrie Underwood, man, Carrie Underwood.
Oh yeah, okay, she's got to be number one because she is like so famous. I mean, she is like, what, she does the Sunday Night Football song. She was married to Tony Romo, right? Yeah, she is huge.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if we ask this fantasy reality, the better question is, no offense to our producers today. This is a big, fat fantasy, okay? This is not even close. Davis mentioned them. Kelly Clarkson, above them. Jennifer Hudson, way above them. Carrie Underwood, way above all of them. So I guess the question is, if it was fantasy reality that Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard were the most famous male American Idol contestants ever, because I think if this was the case, it may be reality. But yes, you were right. You were alluding to one other guy. His name was Chris Daughtry, and he had some real big hits on the radio, for sure. No doubt. He was a big singer. I think he may be above these. I think there's a possibility. Now, if there's anyone else, I'm missing out now. Now, I'm not remembering any other males, but all the female contestants, Davis, I think were just, way above these two, honestly.
I got one for you that, okay, I was going to say Ryan Seacrest, but he was the host. He was the host of American Idol. Okay. I remember this Daughtry fella. I'm just looking at a list of some of the other guys who were, ended up doing music, and none of them look particularly all that interesting or memorable to me. But yeah, Carrie Underwood. Wow. I mean, what a miss by me. Yeah, she clearly is the answer to this question. Super, super famous.
I think so. But what's interesting is the hosts. You're right, though, with Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul, Simon Cowell, like that was, honestly, when you think about it, that was the show. I mean, it was just about everyone waiting to hear Simon Cowell, remember that, Davis, just rip whoever it was, right? Like it was just like, you weren't very good. Like, that was like the whole show. And if he liked you, it was like, whoa, this person may be great. And now I believe he's on another show, if I'm not mistaken. Is it America's Got Talent or something? I don't know. I don't think he's on
America. Something like that. But then, and there was such a revival of Paula Abdul's career. Like, she was like a punchline. Yeah, and then she got to have like her moment in the sun again.
I remember watching this show all the time for a couple of years, every night when it was on. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60, and then we'll turn it over to the early line. So stay on the grid, Davis and I will be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As a reminder, I'm right back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. But as we leave you for today, let's turn it over to Davis Maddock. He's got the Sports Grid 60.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a quick word about Mike Leach, who, I mean, it's always sort of interesting when a guy like that passes. Obviously, you could say was no angel, had several controversies during his career at various different schools, all around the American Midwest and the American South. The thing I would say, though, is there's a great book, The Perfect Pass by S.C. Gwynn, that is about sort of the genesis of the Mike Leach story with Hal Mumme, who, I mean, also great to learn about Hal Mumme before, you know, he's getting up there too. So definitely a great time to read it. But I would encourage everyone, if you are sort of taken by this Mike Leach story, if you want to honor him or think about him in some way, that book would come 10 out of 10 recommended from me.
Yeah, met Mike Leach once many, many years ago in the Florida Keys. He was at Jimmy Johnson's restaurant for his party where he had a big bash there. Mike Leach was there. Had a chance to meet him, so rest in peace, no doubt. Also wanted to end the show with my opinion on the Arizona Cardinals. Their season is over. They're not going to make the playoffs. As a fantasy footballer, even regular analyst, this is a lesson to learn. Just because you're trying to be cool or different doesn't mean you have to pick some team to like Arizona to win the Super Bowl. You kind of know they're not going to do it. So just because they look good on paper, you don't have to be that person and say, oh, I want to be different than everybody else and pick a team to win the Super Bowl because nobody else is doing it. Just go with your go-tos and you'll be fine every single year. I know the Rams won last year, but you go with your Chiefs or your Buccaneers or one of those teams with the really good quarterback, Cincinnati Bengals. And in the end, you'll end up looking smarter and the results will show it. Don't take Arizona anymore. It's not happening. Thanks again to Brian and Michael and, of course, our production staff, and also for Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Bish. I'll see you later. Have a great day.